Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, broadly, look, we can talk about individual market moves and individual moves in, especially the precious metals, but I feel like we're in a way kind of range bound here, and metals are trying to fight off the general downtrend in U.S. equity markets. While you're looking at the charts here, what do you think is most important for metals investors, market-wise, chart-wise? What needs to be paid the most attention to?
Well, with respect to the charts, you have key levels for gold. I mean, you have resistance at 1880 to 1900, which is pretty strong. And I know we're selling off hard today. I think we got up close to 1870 or so, maybe a little bit higher. So, I mean, looking at the support levels you have for gold, you know, you have the 40-month moving average, which is in the low 1700s. Then if we're looking at lateral support, you have 1780 where we bounce from, which is really strong weekly support. Then you have 1750. With respect to silver, I'm looking at 1875. There's a confluence of many important things are pointing to that area. With respect to the stock market, I mean, you have in the low 3600s, you have the 40-month moving average. And so if the stock market did not bottom last Friday, that's a level that I would look at. But I think that the stock market, I think it's possible it's having a bear market rally here. And so the stock market, of course, is very oversold. Precious metals are fairly oversold. But I think, you know, with that being said about the levels, I'm more concerned about macro developments, the tightening of financial conditions, the economic data that's coming through, because until the market senses that financial conditions are too tight and can no longer tighten, precious metals are not going to go anywhere, to be honest. And if we look at two of the last three bottoms occurred, you know, the major bottom since 2015, two of the last three occurred right when the tightening of financial conditions essentially peaked, if you're looking at it on a chart. And so with how financial conditions have been tightening again, and how precious metals have been very weak, it seems that that relationship is probably going to continue. I mean, we've seen technical damage in gold and silver. So I think it's looking at the macro and the economic news and getting to the point where the news is negative enough. There's been enough tightening where the Fed has to stop. And not because they want to stop, but because they're really forced to stop. And to me, I think that there needs to be some more tightening. I mean, there's already been a good enough amount already, and the market can tighten for the Fed. So, I mean, the Fed could, even if they did nothing, the market would continue to tighten by itself and just through time. So I think that following that in the macro developments is more important than certain levels in gold and silver. Now, with that being said, I mean, obviously, if gold and silver trade lower in the next month or two and you get to these significant support levels like 1875 in silver, or you know, gold test its 40-month moving average in the low 1700s. And while sentiment indicators would be extreme, if they're in a bearish extreme at that point, you know, then the sector is a buy, in my opinion. To get to that point, you'd probably need more tightening. But that's how I'm looking at things right now. It really comes down to the Fed and the tightening, and when the market senses that, you know, there's too much financial and economic damage here. Things have been tightened enough already, and the Fed has to stop. I mean, my sense is that they're going to stop. They really want to get in these 250-point hikes in June and July, and then they could potentially pause at that point. Because if they were to pause before that and you have rates at 150 or 175 or wherever, I mean, that just looks terrible. They really probably want to get to 2% before they can pause. And who knows? I mean, if they say they're going to pause, but that turns out to be a stop. So that's how I'm looking at things right now.
Yeah, Jordan, it's going to be all eyes on the Fed to see just how far they get in this rate hiking cycle. I think most people have baked in a June and July 50 basis point increase in the rates, but there has been a lot of market turbulence. And you've noted a couple of times that the precious metals really need to start diverging from the general markets over time, and that would happen through a corrective move in the general markets. But just recently, you put out an interesting video, Jordan, and I'd love you to unpack it for our audience, where you were looking at how bear markets unfold in general equities and just past cycles, going all the way back, I think, to the Great Depression cycle. And you were looking at the path that a bear market takes, and that there are these dead cat bounces or retracements where they do pull back up closer to where their peak was before the big rollover. And I think that that will obviously impact all markets, including precious metals. So would you walk us through that research that you've been doing lately?
Sure. Yeah. And this is really important to gold, which I'll get into at the end of my answer. But, you know, looking at, so I looked at 29, 37, also 68, where the S&P went down, I think about 38%. Then you have 1973, 2000, 2007. So all these bear markets, they followed a similar path for the most part, where they had a leg down. And excluding 1929, the leg down was about 20%, the first leg down. In every case, it was, depending, you know, whether you're looking at intraday or daily or weekly data, I mean, it was close to 20%, the first leg down. And it tended to happen anywhere from, I want to say, 3 to 7 months or so. So we're exactly in that window right now for the S&P, where it's declined, you know, 19 or 20% 4+ months into it. And so all these markets at that point, after the first leg down, which again was around 20% in several months, you had a bear market rally. And, you know, the bear market rally, depending on which, you know, market you're looking at, can last, you know, 2 months. I mean, it can last 4 months and then go, you know, sideways for a month after that. So every exact pattern of the bear market rally, I mean, nothing is exactly the same. But in every case, you did have this multi-month period where the market rallied, or if it didn't rally, you know, it had a weak rally and then it kind of went sideways in a bearish consolidation. But at the end point of these consolidations, you know, the market didn't, it wasn't in that bad of shape, with the exception of 29. You know, I don't have the data in front of me, but the market was, you know, 11% or 10% or 12%, you know, 9% off its high after the bear market rally. So that doesn't sound like much of a bear market if, you know, you're only 9 or 10 or 12% off the high and you're 7, 8, 9 months into it, whatever. At that point, that's when the market really rolls over again. And in some cases, you get a water torture decline. And so, I mean, here and now, you know, in 1937 was a little different because I think it happened pretty quickly. And then the rally was only a month or two and then it really fell apart. But in all these cases, they followed the same path where you had the 20% decline for 4 to 7 months. Then you had a bear market rally and then it really fell apart after that, in a steady decline. And so we could be at the point where the S&P, I mean, at least as of last Friday, it could be at the point where the market is rallying. It's beginning the bear market rally phase. And so, I mean, this is really important because if this is not a bear market rally and all the stuff that I'm talking about, we can throw out the window, then at some point in the next 3 or 4 months, the S&P should rally, make a new high, essentially. It should get back to the high, make a new high. And so if it doesn't do that, like if we're, it has this rally and it remains below and it, you know, doesn't look that strong, that's a bear market rally. And by the way, these type, I mean, this template, this happens during secular bear markets in the stock market. So if it follows this path, it's really significant because not only is this going to be a 30 or 40% bear market, but it's also the start of a secular bear market in stocks. And it's just something I've been talking about for years that, you know, when the S&P gets into a secular bear market, that's when gold is really going to take off and explode to the upside. So after this potential rally for a couple months, if it rolls over again, you know, presumably that's because we're going into recession, the data is getting a lot worse. And so at that point, the Fed is going to have to stop and the market is going to be more worried about recession than inflation. And that's the point. And by the way, that's also when you could see the S&P lose its 40-month moving average in the low 3600s. So that's also a significant part of these declines when, you know, that third phase where it rolls over again and as a water torture decline, when it loses the 40-month moving average, that's something we see in these bear markets. And so that goes along with or coincides with the data getting worse and the Fed and the market realizing, okay, we're going into recession, inflation's coming down, recession's a much bigger issue. That's when gold is going to decouple and really explode to the upside.
Jordan, can we make the argument too that gold in a way has decoupled from the markets if you take out that whole war premium, because gold pretty much flat on the year. Markets broadly down about 20%. I know it doesn't feel like gold's flat on the year because it did make that run to 2000, but that was mostly a war premium. And if you take that out, then maybe gold would have just moved sideways for most of the year.
Well, and to your point, gold is outperforming the S&P 500. If you look at that chart, gold is it's trending up and it's trading above the 200-day moving average, which is now sloping higher. And there's enough distance there where, like, if I'm right about this bear market rally, there's enough distance there where maybe the stock market outperforms gold when it has this bear market rally. But there's enough distance there where gold's not going to, during this period, gold's not going to fall below. It's not going to lose the 200-day moving average. So gold trading up, trending up against the 200-day with the moving average sloping higher, and there's enough distance there where the, you know, the ratio is well above the upward sloping 200-day. I mean, that is a really good sign, and that I wouldn't say they've 100% decoupled, but I mean, that ratio tells you that, you know, gold has decoupled to some degree. And I mean, this is so important because if gold was really underperforming the stock market, I mean, it would not be in good shape technically. You know, you'd have a clear argument for more selling, and it would probably take more time for this thing to run its course. But I mean, the fact that gold is trending up against the S&P 500, I mean, that's really, it's more than a saving grace, but it's just a really good sign for the precious metals sector, because that's what happens before a big move begins, and especially during bear markets where, you know, gold, you know, it really starts to trend higher, whether it's by the end of the bear market or, you know, the early phase or the middle. I mean, if you look at 2008, I mean, that was about, it was past the halfway point, around two-thirds into it. But I think this is more like 2000, you know, the early 2000s. In that period, the bear market started in March of 2000. Gold stocks bottomed in November. And then gold itself actually bottomed around a year later. So, I mean, that, and you know, by the time that bear market was over, you look at it and say, oh, well, gold, you know, it was decoupled the entire time. But actually, it was after that first phase where you had the leg down, and then you had the bear market rally. And then it was after that point, that's when gold really decoupled. And it, you know, before that, it was starting to outperform the S&P 500 before the bull market in precious metals really started. So I think we're following that path where, I mean, this is the first phase where gold outperforms the stock market, the bear market's begun, and, you know, the stock market will probably have a bear market rally. Then after that, that'll be when the bull move in gold will really begin in earnest.
All right, Jordan, we're going to wrap it up here. We do appreciate your updates. And again, this is all just bear market moves, right? So we're all just trying to navigate a bear market that seems like it might be around for a bit longer than the last bear markets of the last couple decades. We'll see when the Fed switches course, but right now, continuing pressure on financial assets broadly. Jordan, thank you as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.